Shire. Turn your porch lights off because we're coming home with a trophy.
Hey there, welcome to Sharkcast Pod, a podcast dedicated to the greatest sporting club in the history of the world, the mighty Cronulla Sutherland Sharks. My name is Sam Shenazzi. This show is brought to you by Dyson Logistics, the Royal Motor Yacht Club in Port Hacking, and our friend Jason Hawes at Cripps and Cripps Real Estate. A little bit of admin before we get into this short, sharp review. I know there were some dramas with some people listening to the show last week on the Apple app. I believe it was on older versions. I apologize. Not sure what I can do about that. But the pod is out there everywhere. And for whatever reason, it was one of our best listened to shows in the history of the podcast. So apologies and thanks. And we shall move on from there. The Sharks today lost 16-14 to the Newcastle Knights. And on the other end of this line, I have a good friend of mine, an old friend of mine. He bleeds black, white, and blue, usually every 2 weeks, sitting next to me, either crying on my shoulder or spilling his beer in celebration. His name is Brendan Manahan, and we're blessed to be in his presence via the internet. Brendan, how are you handling today's loss?
Hello, Samuel. Thanks for the introduction. That was very nice. We cry when we win, and we generally cry when we lose as well. When you look at last week and the last sort of 3 or 4 weeks, I thought we were sort of much improved. The last 3-4 weeks, we've had 2-3 tries scored against us. This week, you know, it seemed like our defense was a bit more switched on. But yeah, other than that, look, I thought we were improved. But at the end of the day, all that matters is whether you get the 2 points or not. And we didn't.
Do you think we are where we belong this year, where we deserve to be? Like, I know it's a big statement, but watching that for me, I thought, yeah, we're close to the top eight, but we couldn't beat an average Newcastle team, and we're kind of where we belong.
We're where we are. At the end of the day, I reckon we get what we deserve. We make our own luck, and unfortunately, I mean, today we didn't have a great deal of luck. I thought the refereeing was sort of half average. I mean, they got some good calls. We got some good calls, but it went either way. There were a lot of 50-50s that we didn't get. Unfortunately, it wasn't our day.
A lot's been made of the tackle in goal. Referee calling held, penalty given away late in the game. I feel like everyone is allowed to have a whinge about that because it's a really harsh penalty. I completely agree with that.
Yeah.
My flip side to that, Brendan, is that we see that happen every game, every week for the last 20 years of watching this game. I know it's hard to stop mid-motion. You know that. You've played the game. But we also know what's going to happen. You're in that position. You just got to resist somehow. Because we were in amazing field position then. And unfortunately, the ref caught held 2 or 3 times in a matter of 2 or 3 seconds. And that was it.
That's those 50-50 calls where if you're on the front foot, you know, you more so deserve to win than you don't. If the ball's bouncing your way and you've got possession, you know, you're on the front foot, you know, you win those calls. Yeah. You know, and I mean, playing in a fairly mutual stadium, I don't know what it sounded like for the fans. I thought it sounded pretty 50-50. You know, I didn't think, like, supporter-wise, I mean, on TV it looked like there's a lot of Cronulla supporters there, which there is in Brisbane. We know that up in Queensland.
Yeah.
You can't have those calls where you're just going, you know, where they are 50-50 and it's a flip of the coin. You know what I mean?
Well, because the other side to that is we did make some errors, not as many as in the past. In the second half, actually, our error rate was pretty low. But fifth tackle errors on the first tackle, errors 20 out from our line, things like that also come back to bite you. We just don't blow up about it because it's not the ref or whatever.
Execution's way off, Sam. And it has been for a long time. I know a lot of people blowing up about Chad being there. So, you know, we throw Tricky in. Look, he's done a good job for the experience he's got. You know, he hasn't been there for long, let's be honest. You know, he's a young bloke. Last tackle options were average again. You know, that. But I suppose that's what it comes down to when you've only got one player in the team that can kick. I thought Blake Brayley was good again out of dummy half. I thought as soon as he flicks a switch and starts playing eyes up footy, and when we're on the ad line as well, you know, when you've got Jack Williams going forward, you know, you've got Nakora running unders balls, and he as soon as he gets hands and knees footy and gets up and plays the footy, you can tell that Blake instantly looks up and starts playing what's in front of him, which is good to watch. Hopefully next year it gets better.
Let me ask you about that, because I noticed it today. Do you think, and I'm being completely serious here, playing his brother had anything to do with that style of footy he played today?
I thought this week he looked like he had a little bit of a point to prove.
Mm.
You could tell that there was something a little bit extra in it. Even with the Newcastle players, as soon as they got hit with a good shot, you looked at them, they got up and played the footy with a smile on their face. So it was a little bit extra in the tackle, you could tell. Mm. I mean, that's probably something to do with they've both got a top eight spot to play for.
Yeah.
But you can't say that there wouldn't have been something earlier in the day when they're both getting ready, throwing the jersey on to come out and play footy, but there's not a word within the shed saying, you know, I'm playing my brother, you're playing, can't, let's get the upper hand. He may have even had a little tap on the shoulder and someone said to him, look, mate, there's another bloke coming next year who is a pretty good hooker as well. And, you know, there might be a tiny little bit of competition, but yeah, definitely with playing his brother, you know, playing any brother, you know, you're playing PlayStation, you want to get the upper hand on him. So, yeah, look, I reckon it definitely had something to do with it, definitely played a part.
At this point, we give a shout out to Sean and my brother David, who also sit near us at the upper ET. I wanted to talk to you about Connor Tracy. I thought he was improved this week in his position. Still didn't blow me away, but I thought he was very much improved. I thought his kicking game was a lot better, short kicking game. But, when he went to the edge out of necessity and Luke Metcalf came on, I thought we were a different team. I really liked the way Metcalf plays. I know he's green as. I know he had that error, so to speak, that changed the game. But that doesn't happen. He probably scores a try and wins the game.
Sam, did you think we were better or worse when Tracy went to wing?
I think we looked more electric when Metcalf came on. A different style, if you will.
Yeah, it was. It looked a lot more direct. And also, I think there was something there with Trindle, Metcalf and Tracy. It looked like they'd played together before, which they have. You know, I thought that the instincts with their footy, I thought it changed a little bit when they all started playing together. It sort of gelled a lot more. Mm. I think it was a lot more fluent. Metcalf looks good, but what he's, you know, same thing. He's played three games. Like you can't judge, you know, what sort of footy he's going to play. You know, who knows what he's going to be like with, you know, a dozen footy games under his belt. But he looks quick. He looks elusive, and he looks like, you know, he looks like he's intense there, and he wants to win, which is what you need and what we need at this point.
Yeah, we need a game breaker, and he's one of those.
Out of the minimal time you've seen him, what do you think his best position is?
I think it's in the halves, probably 5'8".
Because it's hard now. You're not going to put him at fullback because Will's there.
No, you won't.
And Nico's coming next year. Does he just have to bide his time now and sort of...
He does. Well,
Moylan's going to have the bench spot next year, clearly.
In all seriousness, not being smart, when Moylan is fit, he'll have the bench spot. But when he's not fit, which will be, what, 5 to 10 games at least? I may be wrong, but... You know, that's what we're expecting. That could be spot there, time to shine. You mentioned Will Kennedy. Again, I thought he was, well, close to our best player. Super reliable today. Not so much dynamic or in attacking zones, but just solid at the back. Some of his takes were exceptional.
I think the main thing with Will this year is that there's a lot of pressure on him to create everything.
Yes.
Basically. All our points, well, not all of them, but majority of our points seem to come off him. Even when we shifted in our own half or when we're in our attacking 20, and even when we looked to have an early shift in our own half, the defence was all over him because it's clear that he's the go-to man at the moment. There needs to be a more umbrella effect, whereas there's more people to go to on the park than just him. Yeah. Which is what we don't have that now. The points generally only come from an offload or Kennedy hitting out the back off a block shape, and you know, and you can read it like a book.
Yeah.
And they did today. You know, they were quick. They were up on him. They wrapped the ball up. I mean, he can still create opportunities from nothing, which is a sign of obviously a great footballer. But you don't want him to be your number one man where every time you're looking for Will in your own 20, because it's just way too easy to read. Next year, when there's a little bit of pressure gets taken off him and there's a few more eyes up in the defence, then he might be able to, you know, sneak a couple of play. He's a good player. He played great today again. You know, no mistakes. The best thing about him is his safety at the back at the moment. I mean, he scores, he sets up tries, he scores tries. Great at putting points on, but geez, when those high balls go up, he's safe.
We were discussing, you and I before, we were discussing Talakai and how he's probably not the best centre option. He still had some good things today, some big meters, but he just doesn't look his traditional good self out there.
He's clearly not a centre, Sam. I don't think he really has found his niche within the team yet. What do you reckon? Should he be playing, should he be coming off the bench? Should he be starting front rower? Should he be playing on an edge?
I think in an ideal world, he's an impact player off the bench and on an edge, and just give him the keys and just go, you're off, and just go, go kill guys for 30, 35 minutes.
Smart footballers run at the smaller blokes. Right? On a good day, he runs over the biggest blokes. Smartest idea to be playing him out wide on an edge, running at a 5'8", running at a centre all day. The good thing about him is he's versatile as well. So you can put him in the middle and he's going to do the same thing anyway. Throughout the whole year, our best forward's been Jack Williams. And I really like the way he played today on an edge, because he's also the same type of footballer, which is, honestly, I think the way the game's going today now is all your forwards should be versatile and they should be able to play wherever. Doesn't matter whether you're playing in prop, doesn't matter where you're playing lock. Toby Rudolph, for example, he's he can play front row, he can play lock. There's not really much of a difference between the positions these days. It's basically a number on your back. Paul Gallen had the 13 on his back for 20 years. And he only played one position. He was a front rower. I'm more excited than anything for him to get used in the right way, which is the same thing I think about with Wade Graham.
So you've got Jack Williams not as a battering ram, but as a as an edge rower. Is he creating anything, or he's still just running at guys?
He creates something for the next play.
Okay.
So he creates advantage line footy, whereas as soon as you get on the ad line and you get a quick play the ball, that's when Blake can come into his game. And I think that he's obviously not a he's not a battering ram, but I just think with his leg speed and power through the middle, the number one fundamental these days, I think, is being able to get a quick play the ball. Looking at our forwards today and throughout the year, that there hasn't been enough of, which we spoke about the other week, is winning the ruck, where Jack Williams, probably 8-9 times out of 10, he wins the ruck, right? Which allows you to get a quick play of the ball, which allows Blake to get up and play what's in front of him. So no, I don't see him as a battering ram, but as I said, the versatility with him is great because he can do both and still get a quick play of the ball and still win the ruck.
And we've got Dale Finucane coming next year. We've got Cam McInnes coming, both versatile at the top of their game. So it seems like Fitzgibbon is going to have a whole bunch of players to slot in there and mix around where needed.
Well, that's the style of footy the game is today, Sam. You know, you would always, you'd at least need two battering rams about 4 years ago. But now you don't. Now all the game is about being able to get up, have a quick play of the ball, and win the ruck, which we have not been able to do basically all year. So look, I like Jack. I think he's honestly coming to his own this year, and I would say next year he'll probably get better.
Did you notice? just looking at the notes I made during the game, around the 30th minute, in the middle of the field, we started doing a lot of dummy half running and just one out running really effectively. Quick play the balls. It was only for about a 5 minute spell, but it really changed the way they were playing. And it was like either something clicked or the call came from somewhere. But
yeah,
I noticed that today, and it's something you and I have talked about before, and a few other people I discuss Sharks with, how we don't really do that usually. So that was that was a nice change.
I thought that came off a lot of our defense as well.
Mm-hmm.
I thought our defense was pretty good in patches.
Mm.
I thought when we had them on the back foot, which is standard in any game. If you're winning defense, you attack a defense. So what we would do is we'd put them under a lot of pressure. Recently, a lot of the footy, how many meters have teams been making on us majority of the sets? What, 60, 50, 60, 70 meters?
More than usual, yeah.
Yeah, I thought a lot of the time today we contained them pretty well.
Yeah.
Which makes it easier for us when we get the footy to get up and play the ball, because you're putting a lot of fatigue on the defense. Therefore, as soon as you make a half break, and as I said, with the Jack Williams leg speed, get up, quick play the ball, it's easy to run through the middle, because who gets more tired than any other footballer on the field? Your big boys.
Yeah.
So your middle forwards, So as soon as you turn them around and have to make them turn their backs, it's easier for you to get up if you've got a quick play the ball and just play straight up the middle, which I actually put down in my notes as well, that every time either they scored or got a couple of penalty goals, their main talk within their group, from what I could see on the TV, was we're going through the middle.
Right.
So a lot of their, which is how you beat us, basically, because, our defense is, let's be honest, been pretty horrible for the majority of the year, especially our middle defense. I mean, that's a blueprint to beat us. You go straight up the guts. But I thought we contained it today, which was a bit of a change. Didn't you think? I thought Toby didn't miss as many tackles as what he usually would. I thought our first contact was good, which makes a difference. Quick play the balls. You win the ruck, you win the game. It's as simple as that.
I thought the defense was very much improved. I'm not sure if it was because we were better, they weren't very good, or somewhere in the middle, which I guess the truth is probably there, like it usually is.
With their side, they should probably be a top 8 team.
Yeah. I wanted to talk to you about the bench. So we talked about Metcalf. Tolman, did the Tolman-like things, which was fine. Andy had a short stint. We are hearing right now that he's in hospital as we record this on Sunday night, hopefully precautionary only, for an issue with his throat. Much like last week, I thought Andy looked okay. Like, he looked okay for a bench player. He probably didn't look good enough to be Andrew Fifita, but he looked okay.
Yeah.
And it was a shame that he got injured. He did come back on, and then in the second half for a few minutes and went back off. We are hearing he's in hospital, so hopefully everything's cool there. The big one I want to discuss with you, though, and I usually don't get into this very much, but that is B.Magulius. The thing that's shining in my brain right now was one of his first touches on the fourth, or probably the fourth tackle, inside the opposition 10, inside ball to Tolman.
The thing with him is he hasn't had enough game time. There's no evidence to say whether he's a good player or a bad player.
Mm-hmm.
How much game time has he had over the last, two or three years? Or within the time he's been signed with us and people have said, come on, Let's play him. Let's give him game time. I think it would be minimal, and I would think it would be hard to judge him.
He averages 25 minutes a game in the 15 games he's played.
In the 15 games, okay. So, look, over how many years he's been in first grade?
Over three years.
Okay, so it's really not a great deal of footy. It's hard to judge a bloke on that.
No, I'm not here to knock him. I want him to make the most of his opportunities when he gets the chance. But it looks like, to my eyes only, he just kind of lumbers about and doesn't seem excited.
No, I don't think he has a position in the team. That's the problem. I reckon that comes down to game time as well. Look, when you're playing first grade, you've got to expect to get the ball and be in a position where once you get it, you've got to do something with it. And, when he's not in the field enough, it's hard to you know, expect a lot out of him when he's coming off the bench. Well, and
I guess to further what I was getting at maybe is the bench is Metcalf, Tolman, Fifita and Magulius. So we know Fifita's not going to play big minutes. We know Metcalf is probably not going to play big minutes. He played, I think, probably 25 today. And Tolman is Tolman. But that's three guys on limited time off the bench. I'm still not really understanding this bench. I noticed that Woods didn't go off until like the 34th minute.
I thought over the last sort of month or so of footy, it was one of the less flattering benches we'd named.
Yeah.
But Fifita came on and did his job, much improved from, you know, how his body's holding up.
Yeah.
The decision to start Ueli was a good one.
He's going good.
He's playing great footy. And I think the best thing about him is he has an impact from the first whistle.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he has an impact when he comes off the bench as well, but he is one of those forwards that's pretty elusive and can put a big shot on and can have a hit up, which makes 10, 15 metres, which you can do the same thing off the bench, but when you're doing it from the start of the game, it's pretty beneficial.
So is he a starter for you in ideal terms? I'm thinking more next year, even though hopefully we'll buy one or two, but yeah.
I think he's played himself into a starting spot.
Okay.
I think his impact from the start of the game has been great. I think, I think his intensity and his speed around the ruck's been unreal. I reckon he deserves the start.
What other thoughts have you got from today's game? We both talked about how we weren't overly shattered like we have been in the past few weeks by the performance. Performance was improved.
How high is your expectation of the side that's there now? For the players we've lost, I think a main thing about our side is the massive, massive lack of leadership.
Yes.
And it plays a huge part, but you have to say next year gets you pretty excited about the leaders that we've got. I mean, I thought it was a bit of a weird call about not having, I don't know about his circumstances, but not having Wade within the bubble at all.
So you're not alone thinking that, and we've had a lot of mail about that, and I followed it up during the week, and what I was told was that he is rehabbing, basically.
Yeah.
And so to do that down here with the rehab guys was a no-brainer for the club. If he was to go up there, he'd be with, I guess, people he's not used to working with and in different circumstances because of the bubble. And that's the reason I was given as to why he's not up there. So, which I can understand. I feel like the club should probably tell the world that. It's not. It shouldn't be just assumed that he doesn't want to be there or he's choosing whatever over that. That's the reason I was told. And I was like, well, that's fair enough, you know.
The communication with the club, I think Clinton spoke about it. It's hard to judge and cast aspersions on what's actually happening down there, but without knowing the full information about it. But today's game, I think as Sharks fans, you know, we just keep our expectations a level headed, because I don't think we should be expecting too much out of this team from what we've got this year. I mean, obviously we think, you know, we can obviously be better than what we have, and you know, our execution's been off. It looks like some weeks they're not given enough effort, but I thought today they did. I thought today they really, really had a good crack. I thought Britton Okoro was much better.
He was. Let's talk about him for a sec. I thought he was noticeably, I would say it's his best game in a long time. Maybe years, you know, like he was really good.
I actually really liked what Clinton talked about last weekend in maybe giving him a shot in the centres. I mean, you can't play him there now because you've obviously got Ramey in there. I don't think Chambers probably won't be there next year. But yeah, I liked Britton today. I wish he was just 10 kg heavier because I wish he had Talakai's build actually, because he'd be pretty scary.
The sort of thing that I wonder about the influence Craig Fitzgibbon's going to have on him, for example, and obviously each other player. But you know, Britton's a guy who you'd kind of take or leave, and I'll say that respectfully. Like, he's really good at what he does on his day, like today, And when he's not on, it's just a bit, you know, he's a bit missing in action.
Where's his versatility, Sam? As I came back to what I said before, like, you know, a lot of players can play and fill in different positions within the game today.
I'm wondering if Fitzgibbon is as good as I think he is. I'm putting a lot of pressure on the guy.
Oh, mate,
if he is, then maybe he can turn him into a centre/edge rower or maybe a bench player or whatever.
Well, I think that's the hope we all hold out, Sam, that Craig can, Fitzy can turn a lot of our players, which we know they have, can turn them into better players than what they are now. Because, I mean, you do look at it and you go, well, are these guys playing to the standard which they actually could be? Or, you know, are we making up the numbers, which we basically are at the moment? So you can tell that there's a lot more output that could be had, you know, and we could be going better than what we are, which we're not, which is the sad part about it. And I think is the sad part about a lot of Shark supporters. You know, they feel that what's getting, you know, put out in the field isn't to the potential of what we could be doing. One player I'm really excited to watch under next year under Fitzy is Wade Graham. I am really, really pumped to see the sort of footy he plays. When Gal left, I think Wade sort of took it upon himself to play the style and type of footy that Gal sort of played. I mean, you know, I think he sort of looked at himself as, I'm going to try and be a leader here, and sort of half turned himself into a battering ram. I know it's probably got nothing to do with the concussions and everything and what he's going through right now. I'm very excited to see him properly coached into a footy player and play the style of footy which he should be playing, which is a ball running second rower, edge second rower. You know, he's one player I'm really excited for Fitzy to get his hands on and say, mate, this is the type of footy you should be playing. Play to your strengths. The role that Wade's taken upon himself doesn't suit him at all. Doesn't suit him at all.
No, I agree. And I don't think the I know you didn't say what I'm about to say, but I don't think the concussions are related to what you're talking about. He did play a different style of footy. You're 100% right. And I think if we can get him back to that creative edge back rower, it'll open up the points for us as well. And
yeah, he's definitely not a middle forward, which is sort of the style of footy that he basically be playing all year, which isn't his game. And it sort of makes me half wonder why hasn't someone grabbed him by the collar in the change rooms and said to him, mate, like, that's not your style of footy.
Do you know the answer to that question?
If I did, Sam.
I'm going to suggest that the style of coaches he's played under since Flanagan left probably didn't pull him into line about that kind of stuff. That includes both coaches he's had, not just the one.
He's one player I'm really, really excited for next year, because I think if he gets himself healthy and his body's right, I just think that if he's playing the right style of footy, he can be a real, real game changer for us next year, which he has been. You know, he's our skipper.
Yeah.
So, you know, and he's going to get a lot of help next year too, which is a good thing about it.
So we both agree that he should not play again this year, right?
I don't think it would benefit anyone. No. Him, the club, nah. No, I don't think so. No, I don't see a point in it. With Wade, how old is he? What, 28, 29?
You should pull out all the big questions.
Yeah, let's say late 20s, I think the best thing for Wade is longevity at the moment, because we know with his age right now and how old he is.
He's 30 years and 294 days, almost 31. All right,
so nearly 31. Gee, time's going quick, isn't it, right?
It is.
2016 wasn't that long ago.
Mate, you used to be about 8 years old, I hate to tell you.
Oh, wow. Didn't we all, Sam? Didn't we all? And I think at the moment, no way he should be playing this year. It's longevity for Wade and playing the style of footy which we all know he can.
Moving ahead in the coming weeks, do you see us winning another game, as dramatic as that sounds?
If we did, I wouldn't be surprised.
Mm-hmm. Tigers, Broncos, Storm.
The way Tigers are playing, you would think we could grab a win there. But I mean, I speak on behalf of majority of Sharks supporters. I would have thought that they last week we thought we would have won that one as well, which we didn't. So yeah, look, you just can't get ahead of yourself at the moment. You just gotta, gotta take it as it is. I'm not expecting. I think it's a great opportunity actually to put some players in certain positions and roles and give them a opportunity to. I don't know if Fitzgibbon's going to have a going to have a role in this, but I'd like to see a couple of players sort of get shifted and moved around into certain positions to have a look at next year. Would I be correct in saying we'd basically have to win our next three games to make the semis?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'm not sure what the guarantee is, but yeah, you'd have to win all three. Yeah.
Look, and we've Melbourne's the last game. Look into the future, and mate, even if it means starting Metcalf at giving him a crack at 5'8" and putting Tracy back on the wing, which I think, I mean, it suits him. Obviously, long term, as rumours, as you've said, they're going to look at playing him in the centres next year. But yeah, I think it's a good time to look. I don't think we'll win enough games to make the finals. I'd like to see us sort of play around with the team a little bit and maybe give a couple of young boys a bit more of a role in the team. Looking forward to next year. Coming back to your question, Sam, if we beat Tigers next week, I wouldn't be surprised. But look, at the end of the day, I think it's a bigger picture, and I think we should I think we should be looking forward to next year at this time in the season. Unfortunately.
Yeah, no, it is.
Unfortunately,
it's bittersweet. I agree.
Yeah, it's bittersweet, and it's what's happening at the moment. You can't sugarcoat it, Sam. It's been a tough year, but yeah.
It's been a tough year. I think in a lot of ways, even though the hoopla it caused, signing Fitzgibbon so early in the year was a real masterstroke. Whether it was on purpose or not, I can't tell you. But he's now going to have, he's going to have 3 quarters of this year to get ready for the job he's been waiting all his life. He's going to come in prime, and he's going to know exactly where he wants people to go. And of course, he'll tinker as he goes along, but it's not like just some coach coming in November 1 and seeing what we got. Like, he knows what we got.
I think if you do see a bit of tinkering with the side within the next, the next few games to round off the year, would you think that it would probably have something to do with him?
Yeah, I think the call will be made, especially if it's impossible to make the eight, or if we're just kind of like, it's going to be really difficult. I think that, that will be a Fitzgibbon call. I think we're close enough now to the momentous occasion that he's allowed to have a more official say.
A more decent say. I thought it was pretty interesting last week how you mentioned on the pod that being up in Brisbane and sort of in the same bubble that he may have had a chance to have a few words with a couple of the Cronulla boys. I wonder if that's actually come to fruition.
I think it has. I think as long as it doesn't impact his Roosters job, I think that the Roosters are so behind him being successful, they would have zero issue with him sitting down with, our head conditioner, Noxy or whoever, and just seeing what the deal is, or meeting with Josh Hannay. And as long as, it doesn't impact what the Roosters are doing in the next month, there would not be an issue. There'd be zero issues.
As I'm aware, I think he's the defensive coach at Roosters and sort of only focuses on defence. But if he, if he brings a fingernail worth of that to us next year, it's safe to say that that we're in pretty good hands, because the way they've been going, I mean, Sharks podcast, but the way they've been going the last couple of weeks under siege with a lot of injuries, it's pretty inspiring.
But if you just think back to the sort of player he was, and then the way he carried himself, and then the fact that he's been in that job for so long without any dramas, he's been at the New South Wales level for so long, there is something happening there. And I'm not saying that we're going to go win a comp or whatever, but we are going to be such a stronger club, both on and off the field, with him around. And I know I'm building it up each week. I'm getting more excited. I get that. But I really believe it. I wouldn't say it if I didn't believe it. Like, I really believe it.
It's exciting because you can tell, you know, that when they cut to the sheds and you can see Fitzy in there as well. He's quite a – he looks like a pretty subdued type of guy. Like, looks pretty quiet, which is quite similar to Trent Robinson as well. Mm. I was listening to another podcast the other week and heard a story about Trent Robinson, how he always rolls up his sleeves of his collared shirt. And so even though he wears his blazer over the top of his shirt, it's all his sleeves are always rolled up because that's the type of work he wants to do.
Yeah, right.
So, which is pretty cool. So hopefully, you know, he can bring that sort of work ethic with him, which I think he will. Let's not put too much of a, too much hype on it. But
it's not about the wins that I'm hyping. I'm not hyping the wins. I'm not hyping the premierships. I'm hyping the fact that we're going to get a guy who's going to work his butt off. He already has been. He's going to continue that when he gets here. He knows what he wants. Yeah. I'm assuming he knows how to get it, whether he gets it or not, whether it's easy, whether it's difficult, I don't know. But he just seems like a really switched on, no bullshit kind of guy. The way we signed Nico Hines and also Finucane, the rumors were around, but he orchestrated those signings and he made sure that it didn't turn into the circus that was Adam Reynolds.
That's what's hyped up more of the excitement of him coming before he's even got here is what he's done to bring the players he's already signed over.
Guys have been in the team for 4 or 5 years now who have represented their country. They practically begged him to stay on minimum wage and he's gone, respectfully, no. He knows how to draw the line in the sand.
Yeah,
and from everything I've heard, he's not like a mean, awful person. He's like, no, that's you're not what I want. Go, you'll be better off going somewhere else.
And that's a great sign. He's not even here yet, and it's positive. Mm. So you can't really ask for more than that. The hype's there, but we still got 3 games to go, Sammy. So let's.
Remember when I texted you before? I said, let's just talk about the game today.
Yeah.
Brendan, yeah, right. thanks so much for joining us on Sharkcast Pod, making your debut, but a long-time supporter and a good mate of ours. And I can't wait to be sinking lager with you next year in the upper. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Not a drama at all, Sammy, up in the Ivory Tower. Mm. We will be there, and it's exciting. Let's get into it.
All right, we might talk to you before then. Thanks for your time, brother, and you stay safe, and we will talk to you soon.
No worries, Sammy. Thank you, mate. Sharkies! Sharkies!
Shire, turn your porch lights off because we're coming home with a trophy.